This is Twit.
Apple actually had a little bit of a presence at CES.
Yeah, with all the, I mean, sure, we're going to talk about it, with all the AirPlay 2 and HomeKit and iTunes for Tizen. I mean, let that sink in for a moment.
iTunes for Tizen.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They were the big talk of the show. Last year, there was a lot of condemnation for them not being there, not having any presence, letting Google Home and Alexa steal the show. And this year, Samsung put out their announcement the Sunday before the show, and they got just a ton of attention for the rest of the week because it kept being like, and another TV set company, and another TV set company.
So
and
Apple
they did much better prepared.
Apple did. At first, we thought Apple's only presence would be that big billboard on the side of the Marriott. Yeah. Hotel there that said
that priceless.
Though, what happens on the iPhone stays on the iPhone. A great lesson in snark, according to CNET. And of course, the whole point of that is while everything else at CES is spying on you, we're not.
Yeah.
You like that, Jim?
I mean,
I did like that. I thought that was a brilliant marketing campaign going into CES, considering, you know, the other companies that were going to be there.
Yeah. Particularly, I mean, Google Assistant and Amazon's Echo, yeah.
Yeah, when you think about it, what better way to fight the competition than boost the thing that you put out there the most, which is privacy for Apple, and the thing that other companies put out there the least.
I was talking on Friday with on Triangulation with Shoshana Zuboff. She's written a new book called Surveillance Capitalism. She says, invented by Google, perfected by Facebook, but she gave Apple a pass. She said, I asked her about this. She said, really, it's a big opportunity for Apple. So if people want to use technology, because technology doesn't mean surveillance, but if they want to use technology without having the company collect data about them and then try to influence them with that data, Apple seems like they're well positioned to do that. That would be a real opportunity for them. And it seems like they know that.
Can I give you a great example, Leo?
Yeah.
So like Apple also got their act together with HomeKit this year, and they worked with a bunch of providers to get really good products like door locks and doorbells and all these camera systems that also have options not to share your data with anybody. And that came into really good focus a couple of days in.
Ring.
First the information and then The Intercept, broke that story about Ring. And that really, I know for a lot, especially a lot of people at the show, that gave them sort of an instant different take on almost all of the gadgets that were putting all your stuff into these companies' hands all the time. And companies you didn't always know, like they were just a product name. You didn't necessarily know who owned them or where the data was.
And I'll mention this story because Ring was a long time sponsor of our shows. The Ring doorbell was purchased by Amazon. Amazon says they're not doing this. Ring wasn't clear whether they'd done it in the past. A couple of years ago, I think it was 2016, Ring wanted, apparently, according to this is the story from The Intercept, Sam Biddle, who I don't completely trust. You said The Information also had this. I trust
The Information had it earlier in December, and they listed, like, they're very good at disclosing, and they said, we have 24 sources who said this. We have company documents. We have their PowerPoint presentations.
Okay, that's
good. We have their
good
investor notes.
So in order to get face recognition into their device, this is not an unusual practice. They needed it to be trained, actually object recognition. They needed it to be trained, and so they sent it to contractors in Ukraine who would then circle, that's a face, that's a package, that's a tree. According to the story, they basically gave them access to an S3 bucket that had everybody's video from every Ring device, ostensibly for the training, but it also meant that those people could download it, share it.
Yeah. Without due caution, without due protection. This is how these things almost always happen. It's never that cavalier, but it's just as devastating where they say, oh, we just need to train our system to learn about what a dog looks like. But it doesn't occur to them that maybe this training should be happening inside a locked box with all kinds of controls over who gets access to this video and what they can do with it. But no, unless your company is really built from the ground up with the idea that security and privacy is one of our foundational and fundamental tenets, this is the sort of thing that that happens. That's the difference between a company like Apple and everybody else, and then to a lesser extent, a company like Google and a company like Facebook. Remember that the uprising from employees could not shut down the project to create a search engine for China. Outrage from governments could not create turn down that project. Pressure from human rights people could not do that. But as soon as they violated internal privacy protocols, say that you did not come to our department for permission to scrape this data from this Google owned China launch page, you are getting shut down right now. You have no access to any of the data you need. So it's shocking, though, isn't it, that the only thing that stops these things from happening is the goodwill or the good intentions or the good dogma, in Apple's case, of a company. That there are no, in the United States, there are just no protections whatsoever. All you got to do is say, sorry. And then maybe you have to send a nice note to the shareholders for the stock dive. But there's no consequences whatsoever, and that needs to change.
And it's it's almost never malicious. Sometimes it's almost never malicious, but it's just expediency. They wanted this done, and they had but they also had a database that they could go find the email address and then put that email address in and watch that specific camera. And because there was no one supervising any of it, guess what they did? I mean, it's just trouble all the way down.
I still have a Ring doorbell, and I don't really much care if somebody looks at what's on outside my house. But I guess Ring also, I didn't realize this had inside cameras.
Yeah, it was the internal cameras too. And they said people were walking by. They were watching people kissing and having conversations.
Yeah.
This is why I wonder when Apple is going to do their own like home security or home monitoring service. That's going to be a killer thing. If there's one thing that could get me to switch a certain platform to Apple, it would be if they would decide, if I get the functionality of my Google-backed internal cameras, which are really useful for me because sometimes I just need to check what's going on outside, or sometimes when I leave, I really do want to have a camera going on inside my office to make sure that nobody is stealing a $5,000 thing that's on loan to me that I'm going to have to pay for. But I, even with Google, a company that I trust with conditions, I keep that camera turned off when I don't need a security thing. If Apple decided to do this, I mean, you guys are absolutely right. When it comes to privacy and security, this really is hardwired into the DNA of the company. And I would implicitly, instinctively trust that not only do they as a company, are they as a company not going to abuse this data, but they're going to make sure that no one else can abuse it either. So this would be a huge opportunity for Apple.